Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
If you're like me and suffer from insomnia, you know what? That's not fun. You know, I tried everything. I couldn't get a good night's sleep. And this is neither drug nor alcohol induced. That's right. It is MyPillow. Mike Lindell invented it, and he fitted me for my first MyPillow, and it's changed my life. I fall asleep faster, stay asleep longer, and the good news, you can too. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code Sean, and take advantage of one of Mike Lindell's best offers, his special four-pack. You get 50% off two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows. Now, MyPillow is made in the USA, has a 60-day unconditional money-back guarantee, no risk to you, and a 10-year warranty. You don't want to spend more sleepless nights on a pillow tossing and turning that's not working for you. Just go to MyPillow.com right now. Use the promo code Sean, and you get Mike Lindell's special four-pack. You get two MyPillow premium pillows, two go-anywhere pillows, 50% off, and you'll start getting the kind of peaceful and restful and comfortable and deep healing and recuperative sleep you've been craving and deserve. MyPillow.com, promo code Sean. All right, here we go. Happy Monday. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. A lot of news breaking today, a lot happening. We are keeping an eye. It doesn't look good. The east coast of the United States, the Carolinas in particular, look like they are going to get slammed with a full-on Cat 4 or 5 hurricane come the end of the week. We'll check in with our good friend Joe Bastardi and see what he has to say about it. Navy now has the U.S. Navy has now ordered most of its East Coast fleet out to sea to avoid being damaged when Hurricane Florence hits these naval spots in Virginia. And so I know everyone's beginning to batten down the hatches a little bit. If you're in line and as we get closer, whatever your local authorities tell you to do, I know nobody wants to leave their house. But we have seen the ravages and the death and the loss of life and injuries that occur when these big storms hit. And I just urge you, you know, if it means you're going to be a little inconvenienced in your life, it's certainly not worth giving your life towards. But anyway, it's going to hit full on. It looks like a straight shot right into South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia and the coast. But we'll check in with Joe Bastardi later. We have a lot of deep state news that we're going to get to today. You know, it's funny how Obama thinks he built everything. He blamed Bush nearly his entire presidency for the economy he inherited. Now he's taking credit for Trump's economy.
And by the time I left office, household income was near its all-time high, and the uninsured rate had hit an all-time low, and wages were rising, and poverty rates were falling.
Oh, stop. Didn't he once tell us, wait a minute, all these people that take credit, you didn't build that. Somebody else did that. You didn't build it. He didn't do this.
If you've been successful, you didn't get there on your own.
Oh.
You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that.
You didn't build that.
Somebody else made that happen.
Yeah. Had nothing to do with your money you put at risk. Nothing to do with your time, your energy, your resources at all. Just somebody else did it. Why is he taking credit for the Trump economy then? Somebody else built that. Donald J. Trump built that, not Obama, because we had 8 years of Obama and it was a disaster. For all the press that has been around that speech that he gave on Friday, and if Democrats are kind of counting on Obama and his return to the campaign trail to be their big salvation for victory, and he's going to be the author of the big blue wave this November, they might be in for some disappointment. When Obama spoke at the Anaheim Convention Center in California, this is Friday night. And according to the Convention Center's own website, they can accommodate an audience of 7,500 people. Only 750 people showed up, according to estimates, and that's according to the Democrats' own Think Progress website. Interest in hearing an ex-failed president tell more lies was pretty low, and 90% of the Anaheim Convention Center was pretty empty. And contrast that with the Trump average Trump rallies with 20,000 people inside and another 5 or 10,000 outside. Anyway, according to the far-left John Podesta group, Think Progress, only 750 people showed up to Obama's fundraising rally at the Anaheim Convention Center, and where Obama delivered a short speech centered on unity and the politics of hope. Oh, then he trashes Republicans and Trump throughout most of the speech. And if you think that's bad, by the way, I got to thank Maxine Waters. I've been telling you that Maxine Waters is being told by other Democrats, shush, don't say the word impeachment. Don't do it.
Impeach 45.
Yeah, just stop. You got to stop.
Impeach 45.
Claiming my time. Stop. You can't do that. Anyway, so Maxine Waters is speaking this weekend, and as she's saying all of this, it's interesting, she's admitting what I suspected and now is proven to be true, is all these Democrats that want to talk about impeachment are told not to talk about impeachment, but they plan on impeachment anyway. They're just telling her, shush, we're going to do it, just shush up about it. And how do I know? Here's Maxine Waters.
When I compare what you're doing with what we have in Washington, D.C., in the highest office of the land, I wake up in the middle of the night and all I can think about is I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. We should not think about how somebody else is going to deal with. This is all of our fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day I say, I'm in this fight.
Yeah.
I'm in this fight and I'm not going to move. And as you know, there's a difference and how some of our leadership talk about how we should handle all of this. They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment
Don't
anymore.
Say it.
And when they say that, I say impeachment, 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 impeachment,
impeachment. Impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. Anyway, but that's what their plan is. And then, of course, they want open borders. They want to eliminate ICE. And then on top of that, they want the crumbs back. And on top of that, they want to keep Obamacare. Then they want endless investigations into Trump, 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 but not the deep state. So we know what their agenda is. The question is, do you want all progress to stop? Because that's what this is going to turn out to be. I mean, Democrats can't help themselves. Every 2 and 4 years, Republicans are racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air and water. And, of course, Republicans, they want to kill children and granny. They want to throw her over a cliff. You have one Democratic House candidate warning there are Nazis in the Trump White House. Now, it took more than a few Democratic candidates who hope to be a part of the blue wave that have kind of gone off the deep end. And you're getting some primary wins that nobody expected, like in New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and up in Boston, Rachel Rollins, nominated to run for DA. She wants to decriminalize shoplifting. That's going to protect the stores. And in Michigan, you have another House candidate vowing to cut off all U.S. aid to Israel. And there's even a House candidate in Illinois who says the Trump White House is packed to the gills with Nazis, according to the Daily Caller. Of course, it's not true, but when was that ever going to stop a Democrat from, in an election year, saying horrible, untruthful things? Obama referred to himself 102 times during this speech in 64 minutes. That's got to be a record even for him. You know, do you want Nancy Pelosi to be your speaker? Do you want her to be in charge of Congress? Are you ready for endless investigations? We do have some deep state news that we want to share with you. We're on the verge of now breaking this whole thing wide open. We think that this week, maybe even as early as today at some point, that the president will declassify the FISA warrant applications, the 302s as they relate to Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele, the Gang of Eight information that was shared but not disseminated to the public. I have not seen any of these items, but I am told that when I ask, what is it on a scale of 1 to 10, I am told repeatedly it's a 9 or a 10, and that everything will be exposed for what it is. Well, we have some information beginning to dribble out a little bit. I know that Congressman Mark Meadows sent a letter to Rod Rosenstein, And it says, as you may know, we recently received a new production of documents from the department providing greater insight into the FBI DOJ activity during the 2016 election and the early stages of the Trump administration. Now, Meadows goes on, our review of these new documents raises grave concerns regarding the apparent a systemic culture of media leaking by high-ranking officials at the FBI and DOJ related to ongoing investigations. That's illegal, by the way. Review of these new documents suggests a coordinated effort on the part of the FBI and the DOJ to release information to the public domain potentially harmful to President Donald Trump, his administration. For example, the following text exchange should lead a reasonable person to question whether there was a sincere desire to investigate wrongdoing or to place derogatory information in the media to justify a continued probe. April 10th, 2017, Peter Strzok contacting his girlfriend, Lisa Page, to discuss a, quote, media leak strategy, in quotes. Specifically, the text says, I had literally just gone from this phone to tell you I want to talk to you about media leak strategy with DOJ before you go. So that's the FBI and the DOJ colluding to leak information that's damaging to Trump. Then Strzok congratulates Page on a job well done while referring to two derogatory articles about Carter Page. In the next text, by the way, Carter Page is on TV tonight. In the next text, Strzok warns Page two articles are coming out, one of which is worse than the other about Lisa's namesake. And Strzok added, well done, Page. Now, while these two messages alone are troubling enough, events surrounding these interactions call the motives of the investigative team into question. For example, while Strzok and Page texted about media leaking April 10th through 12, 2017, during the same time frame as the FBI and DOJ officials were having conversations with reporters as the Washington Post broke a story on the Carter Page FISA application on April 11, 2017, setting off a flurry of articles suggesting connections between Trump and Russia, while other documents indicate the DOJ officials, especially our old friend Andrew Weissman, you know, Robert Mueller's pit bull, participated in unauthorized conversations with the media during this same time period. Evidence suggests senior officials at the FBI and DOJ communicated with other news outlets beyond the Washington Post. During our interviews with Strzok and Page, FBI attorneys consistently suggested witnesses could not answer questions due to the U.S. attorney's manual policy of ongoing investigations. However, documents strongly now suggest that these same witnesses discussed the ongoing investigations multiple times with individuals outside of the investigative team on a regular basis. Our task force continues to receive troubling evidence that the practice of coordinated media interactions existed between the DOJ and the FBI. And while the activity may be authorized and not part of the inappropriate behavior highlighted above, it fails to advance the private march to justice and as such warrants an attention and at your attention to end this practice. In light of this new information, our task force is requesting to review text messages, emails, written communications from the FBI and DOJ officials Stu Evans, Mike Corton, and Joe Panikta, I think is how you say it, from June 2016 to June 2017. To be clear, we're not suggesting wrongdoing. In fact, previously reviewed documents suggest some of these individuals may share committee's same concerns. However, these additional documents, with an emphasis on communication between the aforementioned individuals, Strzok, McCabe, Page, Orr, and Weissman, would be providing critical insight into the backdrop of the Russia investigation. You know what that all means? They're all leaking. You know why they're leaking? Because they want to politicize it and they want to get their story out to this corrupt media. But they're not leaking the truth either. Just like we were propagandized with misinformation when they used in the 2016 campaign the phony dossier that Christopher Steele didn't even believe himself was true.
With only a kite, a house key, and wet hemp string, Benjamin Franklin captured lightning in a bottle. Over 260 years later, with a little resourcefulness, ingenuity, and grit, we're not only capturing energy from the sun and wind, we're storing it, ensuring Americans have the energy they need whenever they need it. Learn more about the nation's leader in energy storage at nexteraenergy.com.
All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. Remember, you've got all of these people. We broke the news last week that, in fact, Andrew McCabe, that there is now a impaneled grand jury. Now, we believe it's about the lying and the leaking and other issues he's involved in, but we do know also the following, and that is Comey, Yates, McCabe, Rod Rosenstein all signed off on what we now know to be a fraudulent warrant. And if you go back, Rod Rosenstein himself was very, we're putting, you know, especially with FISA.
The way we operate in the Department of Justice,
the way we operate,
if we can accuse somebody of wrongdoing, we have to have admissible evidence, credible witnesses,
credible?
We need to prepare to prove our case in
Our case in court.
And we have to affix our signature, to the charging document. That's something that not everybody appreciates.
No.
There's a lot of talk about FISA applications.
FISA,
and
yeah.
Many people that I see talking about it seem not to recognize what a FISA application is. A FISA application is actually a warrant, just like a search warrant. In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit signed by a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is
swears
true and correct,
true
and correct, of knowledge and
the
belief.
Best of the knowledge.
And that's the
Stop
way
right
we
there.
Operate.
It's not true. It's not correct to the best of anyone's knowledge, because Christopher Steele himself, Trump hater that he is, even acknowledged under oath that it was not valid. Nobody did any vetting of the bulk of the information provided to the FISA courts. A massive fraud was committed on these courts. And I'm just wondering, when do we ever get to speak to the FISA court judges in this case? You know, they all signed off on the misleading FISA applications. And more importantly, if we had played out what Rod Rosenstein was saying, is if they find out later that something's not true, which we now know is not true, they never went back to fix it either. And the question is, I've never met a judge in my life that likes being lied to or being disrespected. 800-941-SEAN is our number. You want to be a part of the program. When we come back, Hurricane Florence about to hit the Carolinas and Virginia hard. We'll get an update. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. We have a major, major Cat 4, maybe turning into a Cat 5 hurricane, hitting and slamming the coast of the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, towards the end of the week. A lot going on. It's now intensified and picked up a lot of strength as it's out in the Atlantic. And it's now likely going to hit on Thursday, not Friday. We had first thought it would be Friday. We now have the first mandatory evacuations beginning, especially for the Outer Banks of North Carolina. And it is... if you're on the East Coast in that zone, well, now's the time you got to develop or firm up your hurricane preparedness. Look, I know everybody finds this to be very inconvenient. I know it's a pain in the neck, but your life is worth more than whatever effort you're going to put in to defending your family and, frankly, your stuff. If it means you got to go get extra wood. One of the things, Home Depot is usually really good about this. They'll spot that a hurricane is potentially hitting an area, and they just start trucking in tons of extra plywood for everybody. They usually do a very good job, and extra flashlights and extra batteries and all the stuff that everybody's going to need, extra generators and all that sort of thing. The Navy, if you think they're taking it seriously, they now have ordered their warships out of the area to avoid hurricane damage. It's just smart. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com. Looks like Thursday, not Friday. How are you, sir?
Yeah, well, good, Sean. I'm sorry, I'm all chomping at the bit over here. We've had this since Thursday. As a matter of fact, you talk about these big box companies. We have retail companies. It's September 2nd. And, you know, you can go back and look at what we did at Weatherbell. It said this is coming. And September 5th, we started with the track, and the track is right there. The North Carolina, near Cape Fear, is where we've always had it. Hurricane Center is now there. So this is coming, folks, and it's going to be – as far as the North Carolina coast goes, where this is going to hit, it's going to be the worst hurricane as bad as Hugo, which hit down Charleston as far as the Carolinas go, as bad as Hazel, 1954, as far as intensity, but there's an added twist to this. Once it goes inland, it's not going to move fast. Hugo moved very quickly through that area, and Hazel just ran up the
east. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I remember Hugo. It destroyed how many homes in the Charleston area? It just slammed Charleston.
I don't know exactly the number. Hugo actually hit a little north of Charleston. Gracie in 59 hit right at Charleston. That was a major hurricane. But this is going to me, I think it's between Myrtle Beach and Cape Lookout, specifically that area around Cape Fear, which is Wilmington. And what is going to happen here is there's two parts of this storm. There will be the destruction along the coast because of the intensity of this. Like I said, for the Carolinas, this could beat Hugo or Hazel as far as intensity goes. But then it gets inland over those mountains of North Carolina and Southwest Virginia, and there may be 3 to 4 feet of rainfall there over a four-day period. Now, you take Richmond, for instance. Richmond may get 4 or 5 inches of rain, but when you look at what happened in Richmond and Agnes and Camille, where it rained in the mountains, Richmond went underwater. The James River flooded. And all those rivers from the New River southward, which is a little bit further north up toward Fredericksburg, all the way down to the Petey River in South Carolina, every one of these rivers has a shot at breaking their record high levels over the weekend and early next week. So it's a two-pronged system. And when you put it together, the combination of the immense power of this storm hitting along the coast and the fact that you're going to get all this rain, this is likely to be a top five costly storm for the United States and perhaps the cost. In fact, I do think it will be the costliest storm when you total up South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia. I think it will be the costliest storm on record.
Wow. So that means we're talking about a lot of damage. But more importantly, when you're looking at winds and sustained winds like this, over 130 miles an hour, and it's going a lot slower than, say, Hugo did. And Hugo really, there was a lot of damage that was created back then. You're talking about major potential loss of life here.
Well, yeah, people got to get out of the way. And again, look, folks, I don't want you to think there's anything mysterious. Again, you know, I know what happens is the week of the storm, everybody picks up on it. But you could see this come even in the preseason, even our preseason forecast, where we had all the red painted in the Northwest Atlantic this year, as opposed to the deep tropics, the areas that we were most concerned about these storms. So there's nothing really mysterious about the pattern. It's just this one broke through and has got a free ride right to the coast. And by the way, I don't want to ignore our people in Texas. Texas coastal bend, I believe you're going to have a tropical storm there Thursday night into Friday. And I think you're looking at more like 10 to 20 inches of rain in there from Corpus down to Brownsville, perhaps up to Galveston. The wind won't be as bad there, of course, is what it's going to be with Florence. But you could have two storms hitting at once. And the last time we sort of saw that so close together, 67, we had Doria come into the Mid-Atlantic state.
You're going to start talking about storms from the 1920s again. That's what you always do.
Well, no. but what happens is when we have folks that know these and the emergency preparedness.
My father was born in the 1920s. He's not been around for 23 years. You're killing me.
Right.
You're going to be nearly 100 years old. There's not many 100-year-old people that remember storms from the 1920s.
What we have is the FEMA directors in Wilmington that love to listen to your show, Sean, know all about these storms.
So you're showing off for the FEMA guys that you know more than they do. We already know that. That's why you're on and they're not.
I've tried to give them information. You see, we got information. I know you're giving me a hard time over here. But
yeah, but listen, I'd say so.
Folks, this is the real deal. I have supreme confidence in what we've had out in our forecast, and it continues to be out, and it seems like everybody is at that position. And I think that you're going to see this thing, remember what happened with Gloria, where it exploded in the Western Atlantic, became a Cat 5, and then ran the coast. Yeah. This one's, instead of coming
that one
up,
I remember, that one destroyed my sister's house.
Destroyed
it. It was done, finished. Bulldozed.
I would have helped you patch up if I knew you back then. But listen, what happened was...
Hey, Joe, there was no patch in a home that was removed. It was gone. There was nothing left. Nothing.
Well, I could have got it out of there before. I feel bad about it now. I'm going to have to go to confession for this. Now, listen. This storm is coming in at a direct angle. Okay? You understand? We're not talking about the type that arc northward. This is coming in right perpendicular to the coast, and those kind of storms that come with very short distance. My father used to call them the shortcut storms. Instead of coming around, they come straight from the southeast. These are the most dangerous storms. And so, folks, listen, I know people, you know, people say, well, they're hype. Not in this case, okay? Remember last year?
So how many miles inland is it dangerous for people, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's dangerous as far as wind gusts and all the way up to Winston-Salem. Not as dangerous as it's going to be down to Fayetteville and Myrtle Beach. And,
I mean, are you basically saying everybody inwards of anyone that's 100 miles within the coast ought to be thinking about bailing out?
Well, no. You're thinking about power outages.
But how many miles close to the shore would you say you definitely mandatory evacuate?
Whatever is being advised by those folks that are in charge of that.
But you're punting. You know, all right, how many miles would it be for you to leave? But I don't even know if that's a fair question because you're a storm chaser. You'd be out there saying, you'd be like, saying, take me now.
I'd be expecting power outages all the way up to Charlotte and Winston-Salem and those places, but I'd be saying, well, I'm going to have to put up without power for a while. If I am living anywhere near a river that could go 20 feet above flood stage, which is what you're looking at with this, I'm out of there. If you're living, that's the other thing, too. I want to emphasize that river flooding. And so to me, if I'm living in a floodplain, or if I'm living within 15, 20 miles of the coast where water could come up. Here's another thing, Sean. You got to understand the Pamlico Sound, all right? What happens is that water gets driven back into Pamlico Sound and just goes right up those rivers. And because of that, and the water's coming down the river with the heavy rain, you get this flooding that goes on the bayside communities that is phenomenal over there. So, folks, here's my advice. Take it seriously. If you're told to get out, get out. That's what I would do. This is going to be as bad a storm that has ever hit the Carolinas. You know, it's kind of interesting. Last night on Drudge, I didn't see it. I don't look at it. But my son calls me and says, Dad, you see that quote on Drudge? It came right from what Weather Bell said at 7 in the morning. This is going to be the most destructive storm in the history of the Carolinas with 3 to 4 feet of rain possible. I don't know. I don't know where they got that from, but it came at 12 hours after we said. I am not backing down at all, and everybody else is saying this. So, folks, this is the real deal. You know, every once in a while.
Well, you're just saying that you just said it first, and you're saying that this is the real deal. This is going to be a bad storm.
Yeah, and Sean, the reason I'm saying that is because, as you know, and you and I talk a lot of times, there are certain patterns that set up, and you can see things as clear as the nose on my Italian face, okay? Right? And I got a big nose, folks. You could see this coming 8 to 10 days away. It's not a matter of, ego. It's just that when you see something that far away, you know the patterns.
So give me the area of what you see now as a direct hit by Thursday.
A direct hit, I think, is between Myrtle Beach and Cape Lookout, centered on Cape Fear. All right?
Wow, I believe. So the Carolinas are going to get smashed.
They're going, and it's going to be, you know, I'm going to be on with you probably every day to update, but I really believe that I'll be saying the same thing Wednesday and same thing Thursday.
Want me to just rerun this interview? It's going so well.
No, because some of this stuff is coming off like
No. It's not that. You and I kid around, but this is serious. The reason we have you on is because we want to save people's lives. You know, at the end of the day, you know, it's Monday. The storm's going to hit Thursday. One of the things I would always remind people, if you go back to Hurricane Katrina, we had 5 days notice. You were 5 days ahead of the curve. The big one is coming. Yeah. And then was day four, then 3 days, then 2 days. And people didn't listen, and people didn't leave. And the levees broke. And then people were on top of roofs, you know, getting rescued by helicopters.
Let me say one more thing, brother. Let me say one more thing. You know, you see stuff out there. Well, the computer says this, the computer says that, the computer says. Guess what? This is a pattern recognition storm. There's not going to be much variance. You may have computer models that spray it all over the place, but this is heading for the North Carolina coast. And it's coming, and it's not going to turn out. It's coming in, and only God knows tomorrow, but that's my strong opinion. It's because of the pattern dictating it. The models fall into line with the pattern, folks. And this pattern.
Now, you're saying that there is a certain pattern that these hurricanes take.
Yep.
What are the odds it goes to a Cat 5, and what's the difference between a 4 and a 5?
Well, I think it is going to be a Cat 5 at times. I don't know if it's going to be a Cat 5 at landfall. I believe we've had a Cat 4 at landfall since last Wednesday, and I still believe at least a Cat 4 at landfall.
And what's the difference in terms of miles per hour, winds, et cetera?
Well, a Cat 5 is a 155 and greater, and a Cat 4, I believe, is 135 to 155. And I think, what is it, 110 to 135?
And people need to know, you have purposely in your life gone out in the middle of these hurricanes.
Well,
and you've been a storm chaser, like, for years you did that.
Out in Bell, okay? So Bell was the worst
winds that you were living through?
Well, 60 gusts to 80 on the Jersey Shore, all right? But you got my dad, who's been through, my dad's been through 38 in Carroll, and you had wind gusts in Rhode Island. Close to 140 miles an hour with those storms. The 38 hurricane.
The danger at that point is you have all this flying debris and, you know, stop signs about to hit you right in the top of your head and kill you.
Let me tell you something. It's something you just don't want to monkey around with.
Yeah.
That's all it's to it.
Yeah. Same with tornadoes too. Did you ever chase tornadoes also?
Over the past few years, believe it or not, yeah, I've chased tornadoes with my son and the head wrestling coach at Penn State is a tornado nut, so he's gone out with this a couple of times. So, but in the mountains of Pennsylvania, they're not like what's going on out in Iowa.
It's Monday. Everybody in the Carolinas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia has been warned. This is the real deal. We'll know a lot more by tomorrow, but your advice, get boarded up, get your stuff, and get ready to, especially if you're on the coast, get ready to evacuate. And the sooner you leave, the better it's going to be. And, you know, and by the way, I'm sure Home Depot, they are pretty amazing how they bring in all the extra plywood for everybody and supplies.
They do. I've got a buddy that runs a construction thing over here. They're already helping out. They're going down to help out. Texas Gulf Coast, I don't want to ignore you folks. I think you got a 40 to 60 mile an hour tropical storm probably hitting around the coastal bend Thursday night and Friday with a lot of rain down there. But if Florence wasn't on the map, we'd be talking about you guys more. But I want to make sure folks in Texas Coast are aware of that.
Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, the official weatherman of the Sean Hannity Radio Show. Thank you. We'll talk all week, Joe, and our thoughts and prayers go out to our friends. Please take it seriously. We're just joking around, but this is serious. This is the real deal. Protect your family. Protect your home. And this is a pattern. It's coming. There's no doubt it's coming. It's on its way. Get ready. All right, is the president going to declassify and send out the unredacted versions of the FISA warrants, the Gang of Eight information that we never got a chance to see, and the 302s that we've been waiting for that could blow this whole thing up? We'll check in with Lindsey Graham. And what do you do about Jeff Sessions? When does the president get the attorney general he wants? Also, Papadopoulos describes being set up by the FBI, by an FBI spy. We'll explain as we continue, and much more. Geraldo and Dan Bongino also coming up.
But Mr. Clapper then went on to say that to his knowledge, there was no evidence of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. We did not conclude any evidence in our report. And when I say our report, that is the NSA, FBI, and CIA, with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, any reflection of collusion between the members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that in our report. Was Mr. Clapper wrong when he said that?
I think he's right about characterizing the report, which you all have read.
We did not include any evidence in our report, and I say our, that's NSA, FBI, and CIA with my office, the Director of National Intelligence, that had anything, that had any reflection of collusion between members of the Trump campaign and the Russians. There was no evidence of that included in our report.
Have you seen anything, either through intelligence briefings, anything to back up any of the accusations that you've made?
They have the documentation that they did the hacking on the DNC.
Right.
And on some of us, you know, that.
But the collusion, though.
No, we have not.
Do you have evidence that there was, in fact, collusion?
Yeah, we have evidence. Oh, except we don't have evidence. Anyway, glad you're with us. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. Now 500 days into this colossal mess, and it could now become another Comey, except this time at Mueller situation, if they in fact release a report or information on the eve of an election. One of the things that people like myself and Greg Jarrett and people like Sarah Carter and so many others have been calling for, and that is for the president, he has the power to declassify a lot of the documents that had been requested over and over again, including the FISA applications, including the Gang of Eight information that was never shared publicly. There are a bunch of 302s now that we know that there was this tight relationship between Christopher Steele and Bruce Ohr, and it appears now some of that information was headed right into special counsel Robert Mueller's office vis-a-vis Andrew Weissman, who, by the way, is back in the news today. Lindsey Graham, Senator of South Carolina, is back with us. By the way, our thoughts and prayers are with our friends in South Carolina, North Carolina, and up the coast. Looks like you guys are a direct hit for this hurricane coming on Thursday.
It sure does. It, you know, this thing is going to wallop somebody. And, you know, our governor just evacuated all the coastal counties just as precaution, and I think he's right to do that. So appreciate the prayers very much. Could be a tough weekend here.
Yeah, you know, for everybody that says, oh, I want to just write it out, don't write it out, because nothing is worth your life. Just take the stuff that you need, take your pictures, take your important papers and valuables and get the hell out and maybe turn it into a mini family vacation or something. But it's just not. Listen, we've watched. I mean, this is 130 mile per hour winds. There's probably going to be mass flooding along the areas. And, you know, it then becomes a problem for a rescue to get in there, and everyone's risking their lives to save you. Just, you know, heed whatever the call is from those that know the area well. That's my advice.
Well, it's good advice, and you do put other people's lives at risk. So, you know, no one's really used to this, but this happens on more than a rare occasion here at home, and, you know, I'd heed the governor's advice. And so, anyway, thank you very much.
Let's go to you. A couple of things, as you have been calling for the president to declassify.
Yes.
Things like the FISA warrants, particularly, I know everybody's interested in the fourth warrant, the third renewal warrant, and that's the one that Rod Rosenstein had signed. And more specifically, there are 20 specific pages everybody seems to be looking for. I have not seen them, pages 10 through 12 and 17 to 34. My sources have given me that information. Also, the Gang of Eight materials that had never been released and these 302s. And apparently there's a lot more struck page emails and text messages that need to be released.
Yeah, the reason I want it out is Obama brought this up a couple of days ago. He's accusing politicizing justice. Well, once you say that, then I hope you understand scrutiny comes your way. It's very important for people to understand that the Clinton email investigation was a joke, that the FISA warrant application was unnerving because the primary document was a dossier prepared by a foreign agent paid for by a political party, this bunch of political garbage. And Bruce Ohr is the most conflicted guy out, maybe in the history of the Department of Justice. He has.
All right, Senator, I hate to do this to you, but Senator Graham, just so you know, has one of those Sports Illustrated football phones. He's like the only guy that has a flip phone. And I know because I saw it. And that was the one that President Trump actually gave the number out on some time ago. I think he's changed his number, but he doesn't have a regular iPhone like the rest of us, or, you know, an Android phone or something. And I don't know why we have a bad line here, but we'll get the senator back. But the senator did tell Maria Bartiromo, I guess we got the senator back, but you want all of this information declassified and released to the public, sir.
Yes, I want transparency. I want people to know that we're just not making this up, that it was deeper than Strzokin. Got off the rails, and we need to not allow this to happen again. And the only way we'll ever fix this problem is to expose the problem. So if I were President Trump, I would lay it all out for public consumption just to understand how corrupt the Department of Justice and the FBI were.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. They're abusing power. Now, did you have a chance to read Mark Meadows' letter from earlier today? In it, He gives it to Rod Rosenstein, and he says, when you review these new documents, you have coordination between the DOJ and the FBI, and specifically new information that he's obtained. Strzok and Page, where Strzok is contacting Page to discuss a media leak strategy. That's on April the 10th, and on April the 12th, Page is congratulated by Strzok on a job well done while referring to two derogatory articles that are out in the press about Carter Page. And Strzok warns Page the two articles are coming out, one of which is worse than the one about that she had released. Well done. I mean, is this how the FBI and DOJ is supposed to coordinate and act as a propaganda arm?
This is what happens when two people have the power of law enforcement to be abused. This is what happens when people go rogue. Can you imagine if the shoe were on the other foot? If the documents in question were about two FBI agents that hated hated Clinton and wanted to help Trump, that the dossier was prepared by the RNC? Can you imagine what we'd be talking about today? This is Exhibit A of the bias of the media. Nobody gives a damn except you and Fox News. But if it were about Clinton being abused by the process, it'd be front page news.
We now have discovered all of this contact between Christopher Steele and Bruce Orr, the fourth highest ranking official of the Justice Department at the time. He's since been demoted twice. Why he has a job, I don't know. And his wife, Nellie, worked at Fusion GPS. But this is what we know. Steele was scared to death about Senator Grassley's committee. 2 days before James Comey was to testify, Steele is writing Orr, hoping the firewalls, plural, will hold, whatever that means, and that also he feared being exposed. And then he said something that really scared the living daylights out of me. And remember, Steele, in an interrogatory in Great Britain, under oath, threat of perjury, he wouldn't stand by his own dossier. But we do know he hated Trump, and he didn't want Trump to be president. Steele is asking Orr whether or not the information he's passed on to Orr got to the special counsel and his contacts at the special counsel, which we now believe are Andrew Weissman.
The Christopher Steele should disturb everybody. You have Mr. Orr, number four at DOJ, whose wife is working for the same firm Mr. Steele works for. They're on the payroll of the DNC and the Clinton campaign. And after the FBI no longer uses Steele because he leaks things to the press in violation of their agreement, Orr continues to talk to him. And there's coordination between Orr and Steele with the express purpose of keeping the case alive and to hide their involvement from the Oversight Committee and Judiciary. This thing stinks to high heaven. If I were President Trump, I would declassify all of this. There's no confidential informant going to be hurt here. There's no national security compromise at all. I wouldn't suggest if they were. Get it out and let the public know how deep this corruption went. McCabe, there's things I can't tell you on the phone. We need to get some stuff out about McCabe. There are things in this whole process for the warrant application that will bother the hell out of you if you ever get to look at it.
Well, this is the point. I've been told by people that have seen the FISA warrants, those pages I mentioned.
Right.
People that sat in on the Gang of Eight meeting, people that know what's in the 302s. Again, I've not seen it. And I asked people that say that they know what's in it to characterize it for me on a scale of 1 to 10. They all say a 9 or a 10, and that this would expose the deep corruption that did exist both in the FBI and the DOJ. Is that true?
1,000%, and I think Obama's given Trump the opening by raising the specter that Trump somehow has politicized the Department of Justice. I've seen no evidence of that, but I see a lot of evidence of the Department of Justice and the FBI colluding to create to get a warrant in a way. I don't know where the FISA court's at, Sean. Why doesn't the FISA court, why aren't they upset that they got a document that was unsubstantiated, that the people who prepared the document are paid for about political party?
I've asked that question a million times. Where are the FISA judges themselves?
I don't know. Well,
can't we bring them in and have them give testimony, even if it's behind closed doors?
I don't know. I may be chairman next year of Judiciary. I don't know. Senator Grassley's done a great job. If he moves to finance and I'm chairman, I want to really dig into the how the FISA warrant process works. Every American should be concerned that a warrant was issued against an American citizen, whether you like them or not, based on a document prepared by a foreign agent paid for by a political party, and the court was basically uninformed of that. And the underlying accusations in the dossier still are not proven. Here's a question for Christopher Wray in the Department of Justice, FBI and Department of Justice. How much of the dossier can you corroborate as of today? And the answer is almost none of it.
Well, we know, and Rod Rosenstein himself, let me play a tape of Rod saying, well, we in law enforcement, we put our signature on this. We stand behind its truth and veracity.
The way we operate in the Department of Justice, if we can accuse somebody of wrongdoing, we have to have admissible evidence and credible witnesses. We need to prepare to prove our case in court. And we have to affix our signature to the charging document. That's something that not everybody appreciates. There's a lot of talk about FISA applications. And many people that I see talking about it seem not to recognize what a FISA application. A FISA application is actually a warrant, just like a search warrant. In order to get a FISA search warrant, you need an affidavit signed by a career federal law enforcement officer who swears that the information in the affidavit is true and correct to the best of his knowledge and belief. And that's the way we operate. And if it's wrong, sometimes it is, if you find out there's anything incorrect in there, that person is going to face consequences.
Yeah. I mean, you listen to that, you're saying we don't know to this day. He signed one of these things.
We do know. Okay, I'm just going to go and tell you. We do know. There's no corroboration of the dossier at all. You take every paragraph and you go to the FBI and say, can you corroborate this paragraph? And the answer is no. So the underlying document to get a FISA warrant was prepared by Christopher Steele. The affidavit that Rosenstein talked about was an FBI agent and others saying that they had worked with Steele in the past and found him to be reliable. So this is a charade. The document used, the dossier, was prepared by somebody on a payroll of a political party who hated Donald Trump, who had a political bias and was being paid by a political party. None of that went up to the court. All the affidavit says is basically they believe this guy's reliable because he's been reliable in the past. What people don't get is 90% of the FISA applications based on the dossier. If there was a confidential informant working the Trump campaign, they found nothing because the confidential informant was never used as a reason to get a warrant against Carter.
Do you think Andrew Weissman should be removed from the special counsel's office?
This is why I want to get the documents out. Then I can answer that question, okay? Because fruit of the poisonous tree sort of applies here. If you were involved in preparing a case to the court that violates the rules of the court, should you continue to investigate that matter? So here's the question. Was this Weissman guy interconnected with Orrin Steele and everybody else involved in the early stages of the Russian investigation? Was he part of the paper trail that led to the warrant being issued improperly? If the answer is yes, then he needs to be kicked off.
All right, we'll have you back. We're getting close now. Thank you. We'll have a lot more on this tonight on Hannity, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Greg Jarrett will weigh in on this as well. Pretty explosive developments today.
I say it again, that whole situation is a rigged witch hunt. It's a totally rigged deal. They should be looking at the other side. They should be looking at all the people that got fired by them. All of the people that got fired, they should be looking at Bruce Orr and his wife Nellie for dealing with, by the way, indirectly Russians. They should be looking at Steele. They should be looking at all these FBI guys who got fired and demoted. It's a really weird, it's not us. It is a rigged witch hunt. I've said it for a long time.
It's my understanding that everything that Bruce Orr did was approved and known to senior Department of Justice officials, coordinated closely with the FBI. So I think this is something that, you know, will have to be looked at.
All right, glad you're with us now. 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN. That was John Brennan second, and the president rightly saying that, well, we should be looking at Bruce Orr, Nellie Orr, Bruce's relationship with Christopher Steele, FBI agents who are either fired or demoted or quit as a result of all of the controversies that have taken place and the abuse of power that has taken place. How is it that all of this starts with Hillary Clinton getting a free pass and certain FBI agents decide they want her to remain in the race, so they exonerate her knowing that she was guilty of many crimes? Well, that then allows her to move forward, take her money, the DNC money she's controlling, funnel that money through a law firm to Fusion GPS, an op research firm, to hire Christopher Steele, who then gets his Russian sources to give him lies about Donald Trump. And then, of course, all of those lies are disseminated to the American people. The one thing that all these people have in common, if you're talking about Page and Strzok and McCabe and Bruce Orr and Christopher Steele, is that they all hate Donald Trump. That was the one thing they share in common. Maybe now this is the insurance policy we heard about. Then it's used the bulk of information for a FISA warrant and three subsequent renewal warrants. Now we know that Christopher Steele and Bruce Orr were talking at length with each other. They had meetings. They had handwritten notes going back and forth. They had text messages. They had emails. And, of course, Christopher Steele is worried that he's going to get exposed. Christopher Steele is concerned that James Comey is testifying, and he hopes the firewalls will hold. And then Christopher Steele is asking Bruce Orr, hey, you getting all my information over to the special counsel, your friends in the special counsel? Well, he doesn't even stand by his own dossier. When it came time for him to testify about it, he said, oh, I don't know if this is true. It's, you know, 50-50. It's only raw intelligence, which is where we find ourselves today on the brink now. The president finally, hopefully, contemplating, reports are that he's going to release the 302s as it relates to Steele and Orr, number one, and number two, that he will release the FISA applications unredacted and declassify them. Anyway, it's the number one book on the New York Times list. It's called The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton and Frame Donald Trump. Greg Jarrett is with us. How are you, sir?
I'm well, and every day, you're right, Sean, new evidence comes to light that there was an illicit, and I believe highly illegal scheme, not just to clear Hillary Clinton, but to frame Donald Trump. And today, we found out from Congressman Mark Meadows, who sent a letter to the Deputy Attorney General, that he had discovered text messages between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page in which they had a quote-unquote media leak strategy to use information, false information, by the way, to damage Donald Trump. The first text was April 10th of last year. 2 days later, Peter Strzok sends another text message to Lisa Page congratulating her on their successful media leak strategy. In the interim, they had leaked a story to the Washington Post based on completely false information designed to damage Donald Trump, and it was about Carter Page and their illegal FISA warrant to wiretap his phones.
So all
and
of
so
this...
Every day, it's a new damning piece of evidence about this illicit scheme by the FBI and the Department of Justice.
So what we have is these main players actually taking false information. I hate to say this because I have such respect for the FBI, but these particular individuals basically were using lies and propaganda to and funneling this information to the press in this country to lie to the American people, just like the Steele dossier, which was never corroborated or verified, was used to get a FISA warrant and disseminated to the American people to propagandize and purposely misinform them to sway, steal an election.
That's correct. And in today's letter by Congressman Meadows, he also identifies Andrew Weissman as part of that illicit scheme. It's a two-page letter. It'll be interesting to see how Rosenstein responds to it. But Weissman, of course, is the lead lawyer investigating
he's the pit bull.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, he's Mueller's pit bull. But now he's implicated on another front because he's also in contact with Steele and Orr, and Steele is telling Bruce Orr to get the information we believe now to Weissman. Isn't that true?
That is true, and Weissman knew this was false information. He knew that Christopher Steele had composed a fabricated dossier. He was not a credible person, that he had a virulent hatred of Trump, and that he'd been fired for lying. And yet Weissman and all of the others, McCabe, Comey, Sally Yates, even Rod Rosenstein, nevertheless, decided to rely on this false information, a phony document in order to launch the Trump-Russia collusion investigation without probable cause and then to spy through a FISA warrant lying to the judges who granted the warrant.
You know, these are pretty unbelievable times we're living in, the fact that all of this could be happening. Now, this goes right again, like last week, into the office of the special counsel, Robert Mueller. And again, it's the person that we knew from the get-go had the most ethical problems being appointed by Mueller, and that's Andrew Weissman. Now, why is Andrew Weissman still on Mueller's team at this point?
It is inconceivable. The moment that we learned about a week ago that Weissman was in on this illicit scheme from the very beginning, Mueller should have fired Weissman the way he fired Peter Strzok, because both of them have tainted and corrupted any of the evidence that has been collected during the
Mueller special counsel. Now, this is in April of 2017. Is this the same leak that we knew about just prior to Weissman being appointed by Mueller?
No, it looks like it was a completely different leak. These are people who are engaging in rampant, prodigious leaks in order to damage Donald Trump.
You know, I got to tell you something. If we don't get to the bottom of all this and these people are not held accountable, we're really, this is not hyperbole, we're really going to lose it. So let's look at the legal side of it, Greg Jarrett, and let's ask ourselves, all right, who likely in this group of players and characters here in the deep state should be in some type of legal jeopardy, in your view, based on the law?
Well, I would put James Comey at the top of the list, not just for stealing government documents and then leaking them to unauthorized individuals to prompt the appointment of the special counsel, his longtime good buddy. But, I mean, Comey signed off on that first FISA warrant using unverified information. The FBI regulations specifically state you may only use verified information in a FISA warrant application. He didn't do that. And then you can see Comey along the line several months later frantically trying to cure his illegality by trying to belatedly verify a dossier that, according to the author, was unverifiable. And the more we learn about Christopher
Steele... Let's go back to May this past year, because Rod Rosenstein, we know he signed the third renewal application, the final FISA warrant of four. We know Comey signed one. We know Yates signed one. Who else do we know signed one?
Dana Buente. So you've got McCabe, Yates, Comey, and Rosenstein. Those are the principal individuals who signed off on this. And so all of them, as I identify in the book, The Russian Hoax, are legally in jeopardy for six different felony violations, including perjury, because it was under penalty of perjury, and it appears they were lying to the judges, but also a statute called abuse of power. You're depriving somebody of their constitutional rights illegally, and that's a crime. And so, you know, there are others. A conspiracy to defraud the government, you're defrauding the court. And as you and I have talked before, Sean, it's just unbelievable to me that these FISA judges haven't held a show cause hearing to have these officials at the FBI, the Department of Justice, account for themselves. My only explanation is these judges are embarrassed that they did not scrutinize the documents submitted by the likes of Comey and McKay. There was no hearing. Turns out these were paper submissions. We just found that out a week ago. So they simply looked at the documents. Who knows if they actually read them? They trusted the veracity of the information contained therein, based on the representations of Comey, McCabe, Sally Yates, and Rod Rosenstein. It's just turning justice on its head.
It really is. And I think, though, now we're struggling with when will the president declassify and unredact not only the FISA warrant applications, particularly the last one, and particularly pages 10 through 12 and 17 through 34. Those are the 20 pages everybody keeps talking about. I've never seen them. Do you have any idea what's in them?
Well, I am told by a source who has intimate knowledge of them that they are damning of the FBI and the Department of Justice.
Well, I've heard that too, but in what way is it damning?
It will show a level of astonishing corruption of how they abuse the law to investigate Trump, to wiretap his campaign. And these documents, I'm told, will demonstrate that the president was victimized by the Department of Justice and the FBI.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll come back. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program as we continue with Greg Jarrett. His book, by the way, New York Times number one bestseller, The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton, Frame Donald Trump. We also have a lot of other news that we're going to get to at the top of the hour. Later on today, we're going to be joined by Dan Bongino and Geraldo Rivera, and we'll be talking about all the tactics of getting in people's faces that the Democrats are employing with 57 days out of the election. And as we continue, Greg Jarrett is with us. New information that has come out today as it relates to a letter from Mark Meadows. And now we see that, well, more about Page and Strzok and their relationship and how they're purposely leaking to the press. What else do you get out of this letter that we really need to pay attention to?
Well, it's the response that will be key. In the past, Rosenstein simply ignores these requests for further documents. Why? Because he's part of the illicit scheme. He signed on to the third renewal document without the proper evidence. The law, the regulations say for a renewal, you have to have new evidence. Not only did Rosenstein not have new evidence in that final renewal, but he was using the originally false evidence that had been prepared by Comey and McCabe. And so, you know, there's no wonder that Rosenstein at every turn has been obstructing Congress and obstructing justice because he's a part of the illicit plot. And, you know, it's a shame that it's come to this, but ever since the president was elected, these people at the FBI and the Department of Justice have been doing everything in their power to undo the election results. One, because they feared that their illicit scheme would be uncovered. And number two, they just don't like Donald Trump because he threatened to get rid of their jobs. He was going to drain the swamp. He vowed to do it. They were the swamp. Personal ambition.
What obligation is Mueller going to have now that Andrew Weissman is all over this in four different ways?
Mueller cannot be trusted. And he's demonstrated that time and again. He should have never accepted the job. He has multiple conflicts of interest. He selects people like Weissman.
But we know this. We know there's a grand jury looking into Andrew McCabe. It's been convened. We know witnesses are testifying.
But that grand jury is only looking into McCabe's four purported lies. I do not believe that grand jury is actually looking at the case on its merits, as you and I have described it. And that tells me that John Huber is the U.S. attorney who's investigating this is nothing more than window dressing. That is a charade. There needs to be a new attorney general, a new deputy attorney general. It all needs to be presented in front of a new grand jury with a legitimate, honest prosecutor.
How does that happen? I mean, we've been asking these questions. We've been calling for either special counsels or such an investigation. How does it happen?
I think after the election, Sessions will be fired along with Rosenstein. Someone new will be appointed as the attorney general, and he will not only reopen the Hillary Clinton case because she clearly committed crimes, but there needs to be a legitimate investigation of the FBI and the Department of Justice because the law enforcers ended up being the lawbreakers.
Unbelievable. That's why it's the number one book in the country. The Russian Hoax, The Illicit Scheme to Clear Hillary Clinton, Frame Donald Trump. We appreciate you being with us, Greg Jarrett. We'll have more on this breaking news tonight at 9 as this case blows up. And any minute we think that the president could declassify and also send out the unredacted FISA memos and the 302s and the Gang of Eight issues. And it's all going to be getting public, hopefully this week, maybe even tonight. Dan Bongino, Geraldo Rivera next.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
Oh, we'll have a conversation with Diane and we'll talk about it. And I'll say to Diane, remember, there are those who said that we lacked civility when I got up and talked about the president's cabinet. And I said, if you see him anywhere, if you see him at a restaurant, if you see him in a department store, even at a gasoline station, just tell him you're not welcome here anywhere. And so It frightened a lot of people. And of course, the line president said that I had threatened all of his constituents. I did not threaten his constituents, his supporters. I do that all the time, but I didn't do it that time. When I compare what you're doing with what we have in Washington, D.C., in the highest office of the land, I wake up in the middle of the night and all I can think about is I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. We should not think about how somebody else is going to deal with. This is all of our fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day I say, I'm in this fight.
Yeah.
I'm in this fight and I'm not going to move. And as you know, there's a difference and how some of our leadership talk about how we should handle all of this. They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, 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 impeachment.
Pages in length. What a
please get up in the face of some Congress people.
You see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd.
Those Republican leaders and President Trump don't give a.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
And that's what you get in 57 days. If the Democrats take back the House, they're getting more shrill, more angry, and more absolutely extreme as they push their way to try to get control of the U.S. House of Representatives. 57 days till Election Day. I've been saying that they're talking about impeachment, but Maxine Waters confirmed what I have been telling you. And that is, they're saying, now stop. Don't say it. We're going to do it, but don't say it. And she just says it anyway, as so many others do. Anyway, joining us now, Dan Bongino, former NYPD Secret Service agent, author of the upcoming book Spygate, The Attempted Sabotage of Donald J. Trump, and Geraldo Rivera, Fox News legal analyst and from the Geraldo Show. You know, Geraldo, I know you like to call yourself a more liberal Republican.
I am.
Every 2 to 4 years, it's the same playbook. Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air, water. They want to kill children and throw granny over the cliff. Did I forget anything?
Every election. But the point is, and I think the real point is, that Congresswoman Maxine Waters, and we just heard her, is inciting violence, is inciting physical confrontation. She's inciting the for trying to get people to violate the civil rights of those who oppose her political points of view. It is exactly the reason why there will not be a blue wave in November, I think, Sean.
It's too early to tell. I don't have a good feel for it yet. I think it could go either way. Because I'm not getting the sense that people fully, completely understand. It's not just about impeachment. It's about endless investigations into Trump and his family and Trump and his family to the point where it will become ungovernable in Washington, D.C. All progress will end. They're not running on anything for the betterment of the American people, the forgotten men and women. There's nothing positive that they say they're going to do for the country. But they want open borders. They want to get rid of ICE. They want to keep Obamacare. They want their crumbs back. They want to impeach the president. And that's pretty much all they talk about, Dan Bongino.
Yeah, Sean, they're in real trouble right now. I mean, think about the predicament they're in with the economy. I mean, we know people vote on aspirational good things, right? People don't vote for negative stuff. In other words, they don't vote on an anti-agenda. They vote on an agenda. But here's the problem they have, Sean. When it comes to the tax cuts that even, you know, the most irrational economists are coming around to acknowledge played some role in this turnaround of the economy, there are no Democrats that voted for it. So what are you going to do? What are you going to run on when people are seeing these job opportunities open up? They're getting raises for the first time. They're taking vacations. They're buying a new car. What are you going to run on as a Democrat? So you can't run on an anti-agenda like, hey, listen, that's all bad stuff. The economy's terrible. This is awful. Vote for me, you know, Joey Bag of Donuts. It's not going to work that way. So what they have to do is they have to enrage people. And that's where this Maxine Waters hyper-aggressive, super confrontational form of politics comes in. They think they're going to gin up their base by doing this.
But it's already happening. Look at Secretary Nielsen and Sarah Sanders and Pam Bondi and, you know, get in their faces and confront them in grocery stores and the mall and when they're eating. I mean, they're saying to people to do that. Now, that's not going to end well, because I can tell you right now, if you happen to go to the wrong table and Geraldo is sitting there, it's not going to end very well.
It's not going to end very well at all if anyone physically confronts me or anyone I am with. The grave danger, though, Sean, is that our friend, the President of the United States, gets so, you know, he is so tempestuous and he has such a thin skin that he will respond to Maxine Waters, that he will take her bait and start punching down, saying she's low IQ, or, you know, saying things that some people will construe as being racially descriptive, or you name it. I think that the danger isn't in the incitement, because that will expose the left as being hysterical, as being devoid of substantial argument, as Dan just said. But the danger is that we go down to that level, particularly the President of the United States abandons the dignity of office and starts throwing around thug and
I think maybe a year and a half ago people would make that argument. But I think people have gotten used to the president's tone, his cadence, his rhythm, the fact that he fights. And I also think people have figured out if he fights that hard for himself, when he's fighting for better trade deals and when he's negotiating with anybody, he's fighting hard for the American people. And I think people like fighters, you can't tell a fighter to just, you know, turn the switch off on this fight and only fight on that fight. It's not his nature.
You can't have our fighter, the president, using the same tone when he talks about Kim in North Korea and Maxine Waters in Los Angeles. You can't. Yeah. You know, that's the danger. The danger is you go low, I go low. That's not the way you win it, I don't think.
By the way, everybody says that every 2 and 4 years. Don't go negative. Don't use negative ads. Hey, Geraldo, this is not our first rodeo. Negative ads work.
Negative work. But Sean, you can't have the guy that's spewing the stuff shouldn't be the president. Let him have a hitman. We should do it for him.
By the way, Geraldo doesn't mean a real hitman. But yeah, I know what you're saying. Other people can do the fighting for him. I got it.
Right.
Now, Geraldo, I love Geraldo. I think he's been very sober when it comes to his analysis of the president. I find it honorable that you're friends with him. And you know, I think you've had a very sober analysis of things, but you are dead wrong on this, Geraldo. Dead wrong. I'm telling you why. The American people, the conservative libertarian vote forever. Sean, you know this as well as anyone, has been told what? We go high, take the high road with these guys. As a moral, everybody wind up seeing that the Democrats are these hyper-aggressive, confrontational people. Let it go. Now, you know what? I'm sorry. New rules. I'm not letting it go anymore. And I'm not going to vote for a guy who lets it go. Because you know what
happens? But you're exactly the guy who shouldn't. You shouldn't turn the other cheek. You're the fighter.
No, but
you're the Secret Service guy. You're the cop.
No, I know.
You're the one who should have the president's back.
No, no,
with the guns drawn and the knives out. And
you know, let me give you an example. So Obama was speaking Friday, and he actually warned his fellow Democrats that their hatred of the president could drive their ambitions for a blue wave into a ditch. He says, we're not going to win people over by calling them names or dismissing entire chunks of the country as racist or sexist or homophobic, he said, or basket of deplorables. The problem is, Geraldo, they don't have anything else. This is what we get from the Democrats every 2 years and 4 years. And to scare the living daylights out of old people and children.
Here's what the president says. You know, I am a Republican. I am a businessman. I have lowered taxes on all categories and all the rest of it. But I have done that because of my firm belief that the American enterprise system is the greatest civil rights movement ever. There are more black people working now than ever before. There are more Latinos working now than ever before. More women, more young people. That's the civil rights movement. What have the Democrats done to these big cities? Look at Cummins in Baltimore. Look at Detroit and New Orleans, and you name it. You name all these Democrat-run big cities where they have had murder, Chicago, murder, violence, malaise, disappointment, disgruntlement, disillusionment. and you point to the way I give you back the American dream. That's what I, President Trump, have done for you. I give you back the hope that your generation is going to do better than the generation we inherited. You know, that's what you do. I think that he could make not only blunt the blue wave, but he could start something of a mini red wave, I think.
What do you think, Dan Bongino?
I hope there's going to be a red wave, but I have to go back to where I think Geraldo is reading this all wrong. I mean, he's a very astute political analyst, but I think you're off on this. Listen, you said, well, Dan, you can do that. You know, I just don't want the president to be hyper-aggressive with this stuff. You do it. You go out and be the brawler on this. Geraldo, the difference is the American people don't have the voice Donald Trump does. I ran for office. I lost. I didn't win. I don't have 1/1,000th of the voice Donald Trump has. The American people voting for Donald Trump have been told forever they're deplorable, they're racist, they're these awful, degrading things. They're looking for someone finally to take the gloves off, have a little sandpaper. They don't have to feel like linen. And to get out there and say, you know what, this is how normal people talk. We're tired of your BS. Here's how it's going to go down. You media people are fake news and liars. And that's why every time he mentions it, he gets a cheer. Now, will it work for re-election? I hope so. I'm not sure. But I can tell you, out here in America where I live, in Palm City, Florida, middle-class neighborhood in the middle of Florida, the neighbors I have love it. They don't want him to slow down at all. We don't have the voice to fight back. He's become that voice. I think you're reading this thing all wrong.
And as we continue, Geraldo Rivera and Dan Bongino are with us, and we're talking about, well, we have an election in 57 days. Look, I am not at the point where I feel I have a pulse on this election. I think that too much is going to happen that we know in the next 57 days. I think certainly something with Robert Mueller, either he writes a report or he pursues some type of subpoena of the president, probably the latter. I guess he's going to be writing a report. Then that brings us back to 2016. And, you know, what is he going to release it 2 weeks before Election Day and cause another Comey on the election? Well, so there's too much out there to know or determine which way this is going to go. Dan.
The Mueller thing is a disaster. And Andy McCarthy has a really terrific piece in National Review saying, hey, where's the crime, man? Where's the crime? You know, he makes this elegant point. I'm kind of jealous. I wish I'd stolen his thing sooner, right? Andy says this, Sean. If this case was so special that Bob Mueller had to take it over from outside the DOJ, hence the special counsel, right, and the DOJ couldn't handle it, then a basic question he asks in there is, why do they keep referring these cases back into the DOJ saying, hey, there's no collusion, and why did they hire a bunch of DOJ lawyers? This case is the biggest scam in American history. Only suckers. Yes, I'm talking to you. Only suckers believe in this thing. You are getting totally hosed if you believe in this Russian collusion hoax. It's a total scam to keep the attention on Donald Trump and away from the malfeasance in the DOJ, FBI, and the Clinton campaign. And by the way, that's period, full stop. Take that check to the bank and cash it. This is a scam.
I agree 100%, Geraldo. This has gone on forever. And what
Me
do we
too.
Do?
The collusion thing is baloney. It's collusion, illusion. But, Sean, I'm not going to let you go without wanting to finish my thought about the, Maxine Waters and responding to this radical provocation. I went to the Browns game yesterday, and no, they did not lose. The first game in 18 games, they didn't lose. They tied the heavily favored Pittsburgh Steelers. But more importantly, I sat next to Jim Brown, the legendary number 32, the greatest Cleveland Brown ever. And we talked. I thanked Jim for his support of the president, for his going past the old tribal lines and reaching out to the president, as Tiger Woods has, as Kanye West has. That's the secret for the president. He should wrap himself in Tiger Woods and Jim Brown and Geraldo Rivera and Kanye West and people that are considered people who have a kind of a following in the progressive community, and show that this guy can tick that vote up in the African-American community. And
I'll tell you one thing. I wish everybody would get involved, and maybe people don't want my participation in it, but I just like to see the violence in Chicago stop. We can start there.
But that's a good thing for the president to talk about. Talk about how Democrats have failed in terms of their urban stewardship. I think it's very important. And Russia collusion,
how did Mr. New York,
that was great,
Geraldo, end up in Cleveland?
Voted.
How did you end up in Cleveland, Ohio? What is happening?
I love it here. My wife's hometown. I'll be back in New York on Wednesday. I'm bi-coastal, the East Coast. I'm on the Hudson River, and in the middle, I'm on the Great Lakes.
Well, it's not a bad living. Not a bad life if you can have it. All right, Geraldo, Dan Bongino, thank you both. All right, when we come back, wide open telephone straight ahead as we continue. 800-941-SEAN is our number. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Let's go back and play Maxine Waters, and the RNC also came out with an ad. We'll play that too, just to show you how unhinged the left is heading into this 2018 midterm election in 57 days.
We'll have a conversation with Diane, and we'll talk about it. And I'll say to Diane, remember, there are those who said that we lacked civility when I got up and talked about the president's cabinet, and I said, if you see him anywhere, if you see him at a restaurant, if you see him in a department store, even at a gasoline station, just tell him you're not welcome here anywhere. And so it frightened a lot of people. And of course, the line president said that I had threatened all of his constituents. I did not threaten his constituents, his supporters. I do that all the time, but I didn't do it that time. When I compare what you're doing with what we have in Washington, D.C., in the highest office of the land, I wake up in the middle of the night and all I can think about is I'm going to get him. I'm going to get him. We should not think about how somebody else is going to deal with. This is all of our fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every day I say, I'm in this fight.
Yeah.
I'm in this fight and I'm not going to move. And as you know, there's a difference in how some of our leadership talk about how we should handle all of this. They say, Maxine, please don't say impeachment anymore. And when they say that, I say impeachment, impeachment, impeachment.
If you had to give some advice to President Trump, what advice would you give him?
Please resign so that I won't have to keep up this fight of your, you know, having to be impeached because I don't think you deserve to be there. Just get out.
Pages in length. What a
Please get up in the face of some Congress people.
You see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station. You get out and you create a crowd.
Those Republican leaders and President Trump don't give a...
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country.
All right, Donna is in Maryland. Donna, I guess, you know, we ought to just get a DVD, the best of Maxine Waters, the best of unhinged Democrats, and maybe we can sell it before the election in 57 days.
Not a bad idea, Sean. When she says she threatens Trump supporters all the time, number one, she shouldn't be threatening anyone, let alone American citizens. And she's trying to do what we used to call back in the Alabama days, crawfishing her way out of her violent rhetoric. She's not believable. And for that matter, neither is Barack Hussein Obama, who is trying to retrieve something he lost a long time ago. He has failed our economy with 8 years of his presidency, while in a year and a half, President Trump has elevated our economy. His ship sailed a long time ago. The left is desperate, and they're pulling out all the stops. But I believe it will backfire on them in the end.
Well, I think it's going to backfire. But look, I can't guarantee it today, 57 days out. And all I'm saying to people that if you don't want Maxine Waters heading committees and Nancy Pelosi as speaker, if you don't want to return to where we were just 18 months ago, then you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to vote. And you're going to have to take every election seriously. And we're putting all of these on the screen so that people understand what is at stake here. It's really simple that they want to destroy President Trump. They want to impeach him. It's really simple because their agenda is not one for the American people. We know they want open borders. We know that they want we want their crumbs back. We know that they want to keep Obamacare. None of this is that complicated. It's what they want to do. It's who they are. It's how they act. And they're not acting in the best interest of the American people. Anyway, 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. All right, let's go to Oshkosh, Wisconsin. John is next on the Sean Hannity Show. What's up, John?
Sean, answer a question for me. On this op-ed, We all know that it's fantasy. Anybody with a brain knows it's fantasy. But why does everybody assume that this individual is actually in the White House or in the administration and not an independent reporter or someone who works for the failing New York Times?
Look, I mean, anything's possible. I would say that the New York Times, it's such a leap for them that if it's not somebody in the White House or the position, specific position they said, and they did that, it's game over for them. So I don't know if they take that risk. Now, I think it could be one of 600, 700, 800 people, you know, depending on what the title is. And I think they're going to eventually find the person. And I would suspect that the Secret Service, they need to be in there. The Secret Service, I don't like one way or another when they say, when he's gone, one way or another, done. I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? There's only a few ways that people are out of office when they're gone, when it's over. So I'd imagine that this is at a higher level than anybody knows. Nobody's going to confirm or deny that that type of investigation is occurring. But if it's not occurring, it should be occurring.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, my friend. Thank you. We appreciate you. Chris is in Virginia next on the Sean Hannity Show. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Hey, Sean, you're a great American. Thank God for Russian people like you. My question is, the government is so corrupt now due to the Obama administration. How can we trust the votes that we're going to vote in November? I'm a lifelong conservative. Of course, I'm going to vote for a Republican. But how can we trust that there's not going to be voter fraud?
Listen, it's something that we always have to worry about. There always is some type of fraud out there somewhere. I mean, now we have the added bonus, I guess, of felons now in New York State can vote. And I guess the same thing as in California, they're making it so felons can vote out there. Look, Democrats want as many voters as they think are going to go their way. And then they say, well, Republicans are trying to suppress voting. No, we're not. It's long been, you know, I want as many people to vote, but I want informed voters. Unfortunately, you know, I'm watching in New York, for example, Andrew Cuomo thinks he's running against Donald Trump. He's actually acting like in these ads, like he's stopping Trump. He hasn't done a thing on a national stage, nothing. And frankly, the state of New York is not in great shape, and we're spending money that we don't have, and we have the highest tax rates of just about any state in the country besides California.
Why can't Donald Trump put ICE agents at some of these voting poll stations?
Well, listen, we do need to have voter ID to me make sense.
And absolutely.
But Democrats will suggest even that that's racist. But if you go to the Democratic National Convention, and I've gone to them every 4 years for a long time now, I can't get in without a picture ID. Isn't that interesting?
Right. Right. Absolutely.
And then because it's Hannity, you get extra wanding. I got an extra round of wanding. All right,
well,
Chris.
I hear you.
Appreciate it. Don Lake Ronkonkoma, welcome aboard, sir.
Great to talk to you again. You know, you've been saying for years that the left has become unhinged, and the last past week, it's truly cemented that reality. You have Obama now coming out and taking credit for the booming Trump economy. While he's at it, he might as well take credit for completing the Panama Canal, curing polio, defeating Hitler, and the first moon landing, you know?
And by the time I left office, household income was near its all-time high, and the uninsured rate had hit an all-time low, and wages were rising, and poverty rates were falling. I mention all this just so when you hear how great the economy is doing right now, let's just remember when this recovery started. I mean, I'm glad it's continued, but when you hear about this economic miracle that's been going on, when the job numbers come out, monthly job numbers, and suddenly Republicans are saying it's a miracle, I have to kind of remind them, actually, those job numbers are the same as they were in 2015, in 2016, and anyway, I digress.
I think you're right.
You know, but here's the guy that was who accumulated more debt than all of his predecessors combined. He overregulated the Clean Power Act, the Clean Power Plan. He attacked coal energy. He had a reluctance to make energy independent. As far as Trump's economy is concerned, Obama didn't build that.
Yeah, well, Obama didn't build any of it.
Nope.
I mean, you know, think of it this. He blamed Bush for 8 years.
Yep.
He has his own track record of 8 years, and now he's taking credit for the success that happened post him.
Yep.
You can't have it both ways. I mean, you can't blame the other guy up to the day you took office and then say, now I'm going to take credit 2 years after I'm out of office because things now finally are getting better.
It's interesting that he only goes to college campuses and not to blue-collar working people.
He's not getting a lot of people showing up. There were about 700 people that showed up.
Hey, Sean, one more thing. Happy anniversary. 17th anniversary of going national today.
Yes, sir. It's actually tomorrow. You're right. It's 17 years ago.
Today.
And my second day nationally was 9/11/2001. I don't really ever talk about it on the air because it just, in light of what happened the second day, I just really don't feel right about it, to be honest, for some reason. And I just, but I appreciate it. And I would never have these 17 years on the air, but for the best audience in all of radio, the best team in all of radio, and a passion and a commitment to work through a lot of tough issues that we have to work through each and every year. There's always something. And I think this has been the biggest deep dive we've ever done on the program, and we've done it with a lot of success, and I think we're really close to getting to the bottom end of this if a few key things happen. But we'll see. And what's going to happen on the other side of this, I don't know. It's not something that I'm feeling great about. Sandra is next. Thank you, Don. Sandra in Michigan, how are you?
Good. How are you this afternoon?
I'm good. Glad you called.
Yeah, I just had to agree with the other gentleman. I was so mad. I was watching over the weekend Obama, I forget their new campaign slogan for the left, but he's out there taking all the credit for something that he should never take credit for, because we might as well face it, President Trump is doing all the success.
Well, let me just remind Obama, you didn't build that.
No,
if you've
you
been successful, you didn't get there on your own. You didn't get there on your own. I'm always struck by people who think, well, it must be because I was just so smart. There are a lot of smart people out there. It must be because I worked harder than everybody else. Let me tell you something. There are a whole bunch of hardworking people out there. If you were successful, somebody along the line gave you some help. There was a great teacher somewhere in your life. Somebody helped to create this unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
You didn't build that, Mr. Obama. Somebody else built that. His name is Donald Trump.
He's so arrogant and proud, he still thinks he's the president. What past president goes on tours and takes credit for the other president's achievements 2 years later?
Yeah, I know. Who does that?
Nobody I know except for Mr. Obama.
All right, Sandra, good call. Appreciate it. As we say hi to Michael, is in Hudson County, New York. Michael.
Hey, good afternoon, Sean. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Good. But Sean, I got to tell you, it's very unsettling to see that there is absolutely zero accountability for the Democrats. I mean, case in point, Cory Booker violated the law and should have been ousted. But the Republicans are not supporting Trump and ousting this man. Yet anything he does, he's under a microscope, and they are attacking everything. I mean, when are the Republicans going to unite and stop this constant nonsense against the president?
If they're ever going to do it, now's the time to do it. And I'll tell you why, because we had an election in 57 days. I don't feel the sense of urgency that gives me a level of comfort that people understand that this is really bad and that we better fix it. I don't have that yet. And unless and until I get it, you know, I'm going to be, you know, somewhat skeptical about what the outcome's going to be. But 57 days, a lot's going to happen between now and then. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. Carter Page responds to all the news about the DOJ and FBI. We have Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, We have Sarah Carter, Greg Jarrett, Janine Pirro, Alan Dershowitz, Andy McCarthy, Sebastian Gorka, and Tammy Bruce. It's all happening tonight at 9. Set your DVR, Hannity, on the Fox News Channel. We'll see you tonight. Back here tomorrow.